think about it, he's everything. He's everything. Yes. He's everything. Giving all praises to God, to our own Reverend Dr. Janice Bryan, to Minister West. Thank God for Deacon Harrison, to the deacons, trustees, brothers and sisters. We thank God for the choir this morning. Amen. Voices of praise. Amen. He is everything. We do look forward to the coming weeks as we celebrate the women of Ebenezer. We do look forward to our classmate. Sister Jones is our student government president, I believe, for my class. So, yeah, 30, however long that is. So I'm looking forward to sharing and hearing from her and celebrating the women of Ebenezer. I also want to thank those members of Ebenezer that was journeyed with us out to St. John on yesterday. I tried to make sure that the members of Ebenezer got door prizes. They won the door prizes. I was 3 out of 4. 3 out of 4 won a door prize. So I wanted to make sure they knew that I took part in that, making sure their number was call. But it was indeed a blessing to be out there and to see Ebenezer members. If you would, the scripture lesson is coming from 1 Kings 21. I'm just reading verses 25 and 26. I want to deal with a larger scripture, but we'll just read 1 Kings 21 verses 25 and 26. And by the inspiration of God, these words are recorded. There was never anyone like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, urged on by Jezebel, his wife. He behaved in the vilest manner by going after idols like the Amorites. The Lord drove out before Israel. We read into your hearing 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 25 and 26. We ask that there be a blessing to the reading and hearing of God's word. We would like to talk about this morning a good lessons from a bad example. Good lessons from a bad example. We need to learn how to extract good lessons even when our situation can be considered bad. It's a talent to be able to learn even in a bad situation. It's something that you can be taught to do. That when life can give you not what you need, but you're able to glean from it something to help you be better. In this lesson today, we want to look at Jezebel. Women's Day coming up this month. We've been looking at various women. But today I want to look at a bad example of a woman. And from her, we can learn some good lessons. If you're ever on the show Family Feud, and the question comes up, name the top 5 bad girls of the Bible. Number one is Jezebel. Now three and four could go either way. It could go with Gomer, Jose's unfaithful wife, or even Potiphar's wife, who sold out Joseph. But number five, you're going to have to go to Sedum. You're going to have to attend Bible study to get this one. The fifth place is Herod's wife, Herodias. She, the one that pimped out her daughter so that she could get the head of John the Baptist. So the question comes down, you're the fifth one on the family, on the last one to be on the team, you're standing there on the end, you keep looking up at the board, trying to think of a name. Who could be number two? Who would be the second place? Jezebel is one, Gomer and Potiphar's wife is three and four, and Herodias is five. Who is number two? And I submit to you today that number two is Jezebel. Now, Steve Harvey won't like that answer. He'll probably try to make fun of you and tell you that, no, that's impossible. That is already on the board. But I want to tell you that Jezebel is number two because she is bad to the bone. She is corrupt to the core. She was raised bad and then she chose to be bad. You know, some people just had bad upbringing. Jezebel had a bad upbringing, but then when she had the opportunity to be virtuous, she chose to be vicious. When she had the opportunity to be kind, she chose to be mean. Yes, Jezebel is the worst example of life. And from her, I believe we can learn some good lessons. Yes, Jezebel was bad to the bone. Now, most people try to make her out to be a harlot, kind of loose. Now, she was for them streets, but she didn't live on them streets. She was the daughter. She was a princess. Her dad was king, and the king in that come also served as high priest. And so her people, her father was the king, and the high priest. And they believed in children sacrifices. It's all the virtuous stuff that you've been taught to be a good Christian, to treat people right. This group of people did the opposite. I mean, if you could cheat your neighbor, then cheat your neighbor. If you could lie to a person and get away with it, then lie to them and get away with it. Whatever virtuous thing, they did the opposite. And Jezebel became the best at it. Here's a little girl that knew how to manipulate. She knew how to move things around, to have her own way. Jezebel was used to having things go her way. I mean, you can imagine when she was in high school, she was the prom queen. Because ain't nobody gonna challenge Jezebel. Your family could be displaced. You could lose a life. They use violence and death to get their way. Well, how did these bad people do so good? Well, bad people do good when good people do bad. See, as long as Israel, God's people, was doing bad, God allowed Jezebel's people, who are bad people, to do good. It's only when God's people start going astray that God allows strays to come in. And Jezebel was bad to the core. Now Jezebel was wicked and Ahab was weak. And Ahab, he failed kingship 101. The scripture said he was the worst of the bunch. He's the worst king ever. And he made a blunder, a bad mistake by fooling with Jezebel. See, Solomon would marry princes from all over so that he could bring them kingdoms under his rule. But what you don't do is go get somebody that's doing better than you and bring them under your roof. Listen, listen, listen. You don't bring a snake into your house unless you're ready to take on the snake. You don't let the snake just run free in the house. And with Jezebel, there was stronger than Israel at the time. So bringing her in was definitely going to lead them astray. Her story is told from 1 Kings 16 to 2 Kings chapter 9. But the first lesson we should learn from this bad example is that pride goes before fall. We're told in 1 Kings, you remember the chapter 19 when they had a confrontation with Elijah. She had went and displaced all of the ministers in Israel and replaced them with priest of Baal. So just imagine somebody just going in and taking out all of the pastors in the city and then just replacing them with atheists. And not just replacing them, now she was financially paying for them. So now they got federal jobs. So they got more money. They're doing wicked, and the poor good little preacher over there can't make ends meet. And she did this. She turned the city around that even Elijah had to go face her. You remember Elijah came out there and said, you worship Baal until he sent fire down, and I worship Jehovah until he sent fire down. And there was 300 of them praying and dancing and trying to get God to move because she had slayed all of the prophets of God. And then Elijah, faced with Elijah, she was so bad, she wouldn't listen to nobody. She was so bad, she didn't even listen to the prophet. Elijah was the greatest prophet to ever live. That when John the Baptist came, they thought he was the second coming of Elijah. When Jesus was dying on the cross and he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, they said he's calling for Elijah. Elijah is somebody you ought to listen to. Elijah is somebody you ought to pay attention to. And even when God sent Elijah, she didn't pay him no mind. In fact, after Elijah prayed that the fire come down and destroy the altars, she sought to kill Elijah. See, you don't ever want to get to the place where nobody can tell you what to do. You don't ever want to get in the position that there is no authority over you. See, some people, that's all they want. They want to get to the highest position so nobody can tell you what to do. Brothers and sisters, I come by today to tell you that pride goes before a fall. Somebody ought to be able to pull your chain. Somebody got to be able to pull your coat. I remember one time we was in Dallas, we got into a car accident and they hit me. And all I could hear from outside of the window is somebody calling me everything but a child of God. And I'm like, you hit me. I was parked. Well, I wasn't parked. I was standing still and you ran up the back of me and they going, oh, and I wasn't as saved then as I am now. I knew exactly what words to put together and how to string them around, you know. I recognized the language and I had it in my vocabulary too. And so I was trying to get that door open so I can go share my words of street with them. But thanks be to God, my mother was in the car and she said, Junior. And that was enough to get me back. And my wife was in the car and I'm out here trying to get in the street with somebody and my mama and my wife in the car hurt. Somebody ought to be able to pull your coat. If they wouldn't have been there, I'd been out there in them streets. Somebody got to be able to pull your coat. Somebody got to be able to talk to you and let you know right from wrong. Somebody got to be able to call you down. In the New Testament, there was a guy that was in the tombs. And you remember they said they tried to bind him? They tried to bind him up, but no one could bind him. He's out there, and that's what happened to you. If you don't let nobody bind you, nobody can control you, nobody can tell you anything, you're going to act bizarre. You gonna act like Jezebel and pride goes before a fall. Nobody could tell her anything. She did what she wanted when she wanted to do it. The lesson we can learn from this bad example is that pride goes before a fall. In chapter 21, we get to learn a second lesson, and that is greed will get you. Greed will consume you. Greed will overwhelm you. What lesson can we extract from this bad example? In chapter 21, we're told that King Ahab desired a vineyard. Now, Israel, you couldn't sell inherited land, it was promised land, promised by God to the families of the children of God, and so you couldn't go around selling that land. There was no real estate agents in Israel because you couldn't sell the land that was promised by God. That's why Paul had a real problem with the Christians in the early church. You remember they were selling their land, and that was inherited, promised land. That's why Paul had a real problem with these Christians, because that land, selling that promised land. Well, Ahab looks out there and he wanted it, but the man wouldn't sell it to him. So now he walking around moping. The king walking around with his head down, all sad. And Jezebel, fresh off a fight with Elijah, sees him whining around in the palace. And so she says, why your face so long? What's the matter with you? What's going on? And he thought whining about how he had this vineyard that he can't have. Now, Ahab could have got everything from that vineyard except the ground. He could have got every plant. He could have got every grape. He could have got every vine. He could have made that the king's personal vineyard without owning it. But he was so weak. Greed got the best of him. He just had to have what he could not have. You know, some people get stuck like that. All they want is what they can't have. All they desire is what they can't have. Soon as you tell them what they can't have, that's what got us all in trouble in the first place, isn't it? When Eve wanted the one thing that she couldn't have. Greed will get you. And so Jezebel, she's like, man, this is an easy fix. What's your problem? What you tripping on? This ain't nothing, no problem. She called up a couple of scoundrels and said, lie on that dude. Tell that dude he spoke against the king and God. Two liars. Everybody knew it. Liars in the community. Everybody knew these two liars came up, pointed their finger at the man and said he spoke against the king and God. They stoned him on the spot and gave the vineyard to God. Gave the vineyard to Naaman. To the king, Ahab, and gave the vineyard to Ahab. Killed him on the spot. And what Jezebel did, this is how evil and wicked she is. She used scripture to pull this off. She went into the word of God and saw that if anyone is accused of cursing God and the king, they will be stoned and their land turned over to the king. She used the word of God to plot. She used the word of God to scheme. She used the word of God to have an innocent man stoned. And brothers and sisters, when you do that, God is going to get you. You can't use the word of God to hurt. If you can't use it to help, then keep your mouth shut. Find somebody that can use. Don't use the word of God to hurt anybody. The only two people in scripture that ever uses the word of God evil is Jezebel in the Old Testament and Herod in the New. You remember in the New Testament, Herod searched the scripture to find out where the Messiah child would be born. And once they told him where the Messiah child would be born, he uses that information to try to plot to kill him. Jezebel in that same category, using the word of God to try to hurt somebody. The greed, their desire to have what they couldn't have. And if we get caught up in that same greed, that same desire to have what you can't have, soon that greed will get you. So lesson one, pride goes before a fall, and greed will get you. Lesson two, and lesson three is God's justice is sure. In the midst of all this, Jezebel got a plot on Elijah's head. God yet sends Elijah to go to Ahab. He got to go through and face Ahab, even though Ahab's wife, Jezebel, is out to kill him. God put Elijah in the room with Ahab and told Ahab, listen, man, God going to take care of all this. You going to get killed and the dogs going to lick your blood. You won't play with me. You won't play with God. You going to die a horrible, horrible death. And he pulls it off. Ahab get killed. Jezebel so bad that her own people, her own servant, throws her out the window. Throws her out the window. And then guess what? The street dogs. By the time they get down there to Jezebel, wasn't enough for her to bury. Wasn't enough for her to identify. This bad example can teach us that God's justice is sure. Brothers and sisters, this is a true saying, you shall weep what you sow. It's true, brothers and sisters, that God's justice is sure. It may not come when you want them, but it is sure. His justice was delayed, but it was ultimately delivered. God said it, and it was done. Yes, from this we learn the power and the certainty of God to carry out his own retribution toward men. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, he shall reap. For they that sow the wind, they shall reap the whirlwind. But thanks God, not only does this lesson teach us about God's justice, it also teaches us about God's grace. See, God didn't have to warn them. God didn't have to send the prophet to tell them what he's going to do. God didn't have to give them the heads up. But brothers and sisters, I tell you this morning, that's the grace of God. It's the grace of God that he allows us to have some pains every now and then. That lets us know that we got to move out of this old house. We're going to have to move from this place. That's God warning us. God is letting us know that time is winding up. God is reminding us daily that our life here is not forever. But God's justice will come to pass. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his mercy. That God tells you what to do. And tell you what not to do. And God will tell you what be the punishment if you do what he say don't do. Yes, we can learn some good lessons from this bad example. We can learn about God's amazing grace. The sweet sound of grace. Even though we may have to worship in the heat, I don't have to spend eternity in it. I don't have to spend one Sunday. The party's coming. AC will be back on. I can learn a good lesson. That's how it happened. I didn't tend to make it practical this morning. But we have to learn from bad examples. We have to learn how to extract good lessons. Some of us didn't have the upbringing that we wanted our children to have. Some of us didn't have the type of things that we thought we should have, but now we're in position. You can learn good lessons from bad examples. May God bless you and may God keep you this morning. At this time, we want to extend the invitation to Christian discipleship. If you're watching online and the Lord is moving in your heart, if you just put a comment, we'll reach out to you. Email us, Don't let this day go past. Will you come at the ushers and deacons and the greeters come? We invite you to come. Come as you are, come from where you are. Just come.
Say, I will bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me.
Say,
I will bless the Lord,
all my soul,
all my soul.
Fellowship, I believe the deaconess, fellowship hour in the fellowship hall, immediately following service. All hearts and minds. It's cool there back there. So we're ready to go back there. So let us stand. Let us stand. Amen. Gracious Father, we thank you. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, because you reminded us once again that we still have to praise you when we're uncomfortable. We still have to worship you even when things aren't going our way. And it reminds us to be appreciative, not to take it for granted, not to act spoiled or entitled. But we stay humble and thankful for all that you do. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that we can turn a bad example into a good lesson. We can turn a bad situation into a good lesson. And so we pray right now, dear Heavenly Father, as we make ready to leave this place, but not your presence. We pray for the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit. Fall fresh on us. Lead us, guide us, direct us, and keep us until such time as we're able to come together again. We ask these and all other blessings in the mighty name of Jesus. we do pray. Let us all sing together. Amen. Amen. Go in peace.